look at 1 Kings chapter 14. Over the last number of messages, in one way, shape, or form, we have been bringing in Jesus as the King of Saints. Jesus as King of Nations. Revealed from and through the Word of God that He is Lord, that all things are His, and He is in command of everything. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 14 and verse 15, is this way. For the Lord will strike Israel, as a reed is shaken in the water. And He will uproot Israel from this good land which He gave to their fathers, and will spread again beyond the Euphrates River, because they have made the offering provoking the Lord to anger. I choose this verse because God previously told the nation of Israel, "You did not choose me, but I have chosen you." We that are in this room today, we remember when we were saved, but we did not choose Him. He chose us. What a miracle. I would like for you to go to the book of Haggai, the prophet Haggai, chapter 2 and verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, in a little while, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth and the sea also and the dry land. Father, you help us, we pray. Amen. And then you may be seated. You hear me say this quite often, that I very seldom speak in prophecy. And my age and my years of ministry, I have studied prophecy, I've read prophecy, I've read books on prophecy, I've heard a lot of things. But I'm going to be honest with you, what I've told you in the past. I've read so much, I've heard so much on the subject of prophecy, that I choose not to deal with it because I've heard so much that was in error. But today, even with my carefulness, I'm going to pick up some thoughts from the Word of God that will have to do with prophecy. But I do not believe it will confuse you. I do not believe that you will not understand what I've said. I believe that it will be in a way that we will better understand where we are, what is going on, and what's going to be the end of all this. I preached many years ago, and the title of the message was, "What are we supposed to do until Jesus comes?" There's one thing that we know. We're going to live for God. We know this. We're not going to pay attention to a lot of voices that are in the air. They're confusing. Do you know it's more important to who you listen to preach than it is who you go to as a doctor? It is more important that you are able to take everything that you hear from a supposed to be preaching and put it to the test of the Word of God as to whether it be of God or not. In the book of Acts, the Bereans were commended because they did not believe anything that they heard unless they were able to find the truth of it in the Word of God. I encourage you to live that same way. Don't believe it because I said it. Don't believe it because you hear it somewhere else, television, books, whatever. This Bible says you have no need that any man teach you. The Holy Spirit of God abiding in us. He is our teacher. He is our spokesman. He knows what we don't know, what we do not know. With that caveout having been given, we must, from time, consider what the heart and the core of everything is that's taking place in the earth. In the Epistle of John, John said, in the morning, you have heard that Antichrist is going to come. But he said, I'll tell you that many Antichrists. There is a man of sin. There is a man, the Antichrist, the instead of Christ, that is going to come. He's going to rule this earth with a rod of iron. He's going to cause Christ to prosper. But I'll listen to the politicians, no matter what side they're on. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. We're going to have this abundance, we're going to have this. Let me remind you of this scripture. God said, the poor you have with me always. I was put the hand of President Lyndon Johnson. I was an honor. But I remember when he started his war on poverty. Back in those 60s, he said, we will eradicate poverty. No, you won't. The poor you have with you always. But let me throw this in also. God said that it would be easier for a rich man to make it to heaven than it would be for a camel to go through the eye of the needle. Right? But God also said this, that the poor heard him cry. Take wealth and riches, try to make it through the eye of that needle. But I'd rather be poor in spirit. I'd rather be humble. I'd rather not have anything and be given the grace of God to believe the word of God. Because our riches are going to pass away. They're going to melt. They're going to be gone. I'm looking for a word I'm going to take out of context, the context of my notes. I'll get to it anyway. We are living in perilous times. Perilous means no way out. Perilous means no way out. Paul said, perilous times will come. Jesus let us know that when you see certain things beginning to happen, lift up your head. Your redemption is drawing off. You can't change those events. You cannot improve those events. You must know this one thing, that everything of my life and of your life is your relationship to Jesus Christ. That's all that matters. There's nothing else of interest. There is nothing else that is going to stand. Everything is going to be shaken. I've dealt with this several weeks ago. But let me change from what I said several weeks ago to add this. The reason that God is taking things is so that nothing, he wants nothing to remain except his son. It doesn't matter if you're Merkel in Germany or if you're Putin in Russia, if you're in North Korea, if you're in China, or if you're in the White House. Your world is being shaken. No matter your good intentions, when God told the Jewish people he was going to shake their world, he had one thing in mind. He was going to shake the temple, and he was going to shake the temple system. Everything that they did in that temple, they did because God told them what to do. how to build the altar, how to prepare the sacrifice, how to offer the sacrifice. But they got to doing that out of a form of habit until God one day come down and stood in the middle of the altar and said, "I hate what you're doing." I'll get to it more in a minute. We've got a form of religion that has no power. When Moses met with God on the mountain, there was fire, there was smoke, there was pressure. We are so far removed from the presence of God that you can go to churches and they have artificial smoke machines. They have to turn on Christ in life. To me, that is almost unforgivable. You are trying to, in the natural, create something that you see that is all a spiritual action of God through His divine presence. I can tell you that God is taking the nations. God is taking churches. God is taking individuals. No man can coordinate this. No man can create this. But God can. He's God. He's sovereign. That means He can do anything He wants to. I'm feeling the shaking. I believe you are feeling the shaking. I know this church is feeling the shaking. But He said, there will be those things that cannot be shaken loose. And that's where I feel. He said, so that those things that are taken that may not remain, not everything is going to stand, not everything is going to be strong. Those believers, God was going to take everything about this system. And there is going to be a discovery of how much of it was God and how much of it was just caught up in something other than God. That's the reason I preach to you this morning. I welcome the shaking of God. Do you know why? Because I want to know. I want to know, is it me or is it God? I want to know, do I love Him or do I love something else? He said, I'll shake Israel. I'm not only shake their temple, I'll shake their land. I'll shake their seed. I'll shake their dry land. That's God's word. God is the one that stirs things up. God's the one that takes things. We have our opinions. We have our ideas. But those things are all the world, the flesh, and the devil. You don't have to forgive me. I'm using my iPad and touching some things that I shouldn't be touching. I'm using this because I want to stay with my thoughts. You know how that there was Judah and there was Israel, went to the north of Israel. But a careful study of the history of Judah, Israel, whatever, is that God always dealt with it. Now let me say this about the dealings of God. The purpose of God is to bring us to Christ. Whatever happens in your life, God wants to use that to reveal to us what is not Him, so that we can repent, so that we can go before God and get the victory. God does not willfully put any man to any place except it is His wonders to perform. So, as God begins to shake and to move, we need to understand that God is getting us ready for a heavenly place. We, by production of our parents, were born, and we had a training on how to live in this life. You get in the church, and you begin will separate the flesh from the spirit. Evil communication corrupts good manners. So you talk about it. Right? If you hate your brother without a cause, you are a murderer. You learn that. That we love one another. Many times, that love for one another is something. Something is said, something transpired, something is done. And that very act causes us to have an injured front feeling towards that one. I call Brother Moses Johnson my brother. He is my brother. I love him as my brother. I don't know how long we've known each other, 30, 35 years or more. I've always loved him. He never did anything to injure that. But if he did, if he injured that relationship, we would go according to the Bible. If your brother has all against you, go to it. Lay your gift on the altar and make that thing right. I'm not saying that everything is always perfect. But there is one thing that must be perfect. It must be constant. And that is our love for God, our dedication to God. Can I tell you the greatest commandment is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul. But there is one likened unto it. You should love your neighbor. You should love your brother. My love for God. It's probably no greater than my love for my brother. Today, what goes on in a lot of churches, and churches will tell you that they don't want any disturbance. They don't want any disturbance. I don't want you to cause any. I don't want me to cause any. But I do want God to stir out there. I do want God to stir our lives. I want Him to stir our spirits. What happens? Let me quote Brother Clinton again. He and Lord Warren saw me at that time. Went over to Lake Charles to have a Sunday night service. And when they drove up in the parking lot of the church, it said Sunday night service starts at 7 and goes for 8. Brother Clinton looked at the door and said, "Well, how are we going to work with this?" You see, we started church in those days at 7:30. We got through with the song service about 9:30. Then it was time to preach. And he preached whatever hour, hour and a half. And every bit of the singing preaching was preparatory to the altar. It wasn't anything. Started at 7:30, get out at 11:30. Banker one time asked Brother Clinton, he said, "What do you do for recreation?" He said, "I go to church." He said, "No." He said, "Do you think? Do you hunt? Do you pick up?" Brother Clinton said, "No." He said, "What do you do?" He said, "I go to church." Banker looked at him and said, "You must have a very poor life." Brother Clinton looked at him and said, "You don't go to my church." So they sat and did another day. They had that service. He come back to this pulpit. He said, "I've made up my mind. An hour for that is more than anybody can do. An hour of that is enough." But we've codified God. And God is trying to get in this church and take it. And I throw my hand up, I lift my voice, and I say, "God, take it." What we have churches worshiping a God that does not exist. They say that God, they say, this is the move of the Spirit. Since I've been pastoring this church, I don't even know if my elder brother, Larry Kip, will remember this anymore. This place was changed. And the people have changed, but I haven't. They don't listen to the same thing, and I preach the same thing. We had a service here. It seemed like it was on a Sunday morning. I mean, tell you, the power of God is something you can see. I don't know that we've had a struggle with this thing. My lips. You know, there are people that tell you there's no such thing in the Bible as being slain in the Spirit. I can take you to any number of places where people said that their legs failed them. There is such a power of God, such a move of God. Seems like we've gone way over any time that we normally would. But Brother Kent was standing right here by me. I don't know if he remembers it. I asked him, I said, Brother Kent, can you dismiss the service for me? I can't move, I can't stand. You say, I don't believe in that. Well, I don't believe in this form of religion with no power. I don't believe in this God that they worship that does not exist. I don't want to upset you, but I ain't going to preach to you. Go look it up. I don't remember where it is, but it is in the book of Isaiah. It's in the book of Isaiah. Go look it up while I'm preaching to you. But the prophet said there would come a day. I don't even remember the wording of it. But most everything would be ruled by women and children. Go read it. It's in there. If you're going to be a lady of God, you're going to live according to this divine book. Love your own husband. There will be times when you will learn the secret. That's right. You watch the news, it's mostly women. You watch these marches and listen to the language, it's women. God said, I'm going to take land, sea, dry ground, temple, I'm going to take Israel. God is not impressed by all of this garbage, all of this nonsense. He said of Jesus Christ, he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear him. This is my Son, hear him. Let me say this to you ladies. She died not too long ago, the lady that, you know, stood up for the women's rights. But one time they asked her, they said, aren't you in favor of women being equal in the workforce? She said, no. He said, don't you want your husband? You would be superior. She said, why would I want to come down to be like him? It would be a come down for me to be like him. But this one thing is true. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for them. I don't believe there's lordship out of the context of the Word of God, a man with his wife. I love my wife more than I love my own wife. She's primary. And God never loved anything more than he loved the church. And he told me to love her the same way he loves the church. Things are being shaken politically, socially, governmentally. Everything is going to a tent. You know what it's turned out to be? We are in a melting pot. A melting pot. Whatever is left in that melting pot, whatever has abided being shaken, is the only thing that God's going to take. Nothing else. The issue with us is the Lord Jesus Christ. We get too worried about a lot of things. But I believe the reason the devil hates the true word of God is it is his defeat. It is the devil's defeat. God is going to have a people that are so in love with Jesus that nothing can take his place. I need to say it again. I'm preaching on Jesus today, do you? You watch the news? Do you listen to the preacher? Whatever your life consists He's worried, concerned. The only ones that are not worrying and concerned, put it that way, are those that the devil has blinded their eyes and they don't know what's going on. There's a lot of them. A lot of them. I've preached here for years. You've heard me say it. It's very important as to how you choose your church. Thank you. You've heard me say it. I know people that choose the church they go to because of the music, because of the songs, because of the dress. Believe it or not, it's still in your Bible, in the book of Deuteronomy, it's still an abomination for a woman to wear that to pertain to the man. Somebody says, you must be perfect, that might be ideal. But in my way of living for God is read it, see it, do it. Just do it. I've looked at other explanations. There's explanations that a woman should not serve in the military. That means military God. You can take it any way you want to. But my Bible says that a man, even if he's a fool, will not err in his way. You and I have seen nothing compared to what we're going to see. Nothing compared to what we're going to see. We're in this part of the world. We've been spared a lot of things that a lot of people in other parts of our nation have had to suffer. They've lost loved ones. People have been killed by acts of terrorism and violence. God's been good to us. And I praise Him for it, give Him a little bit of glory. But God said, I'm no respecter of persons. What I'm doing is what I'm doing for nothing. There was God. God said, there's a time to name a three men. Noah, Daniel, Chris, Elijah, Robert, John. Even if these three men cry unto me, I will only answer their prayer concerning themselves. I will not hear them concerning the people. I'm giving us a warning today that we better choose God and live for God. We must abide in God, live in Christ. You never know when He's going to appear. He's going to come. Some people think that ignorance is a defense. Well, if I don't know, then I can't be held accountable. I've used this before. Back in the early days of this nation, they had what they call town criers. No printing press, no mass media. Town criers. So when laws were made and passed and they become the law of the land, town criers were going to squares of the areas and cry out that we're free, the law, what has changed. There was no ignorance as the defense. If they pass the law, you know, that you can't do this. Maybe it's been innocent in the past, but when they change that law, that town crier will cry out, if you did it, you are guilty. And you pay the price. God has been better to us than that. He has given us His holy word. He has blessed us with the gospel. We have the Bible. God will eventually bring everything to an end that is not Jesus Christ. I'm going to read you another verse of Scripture, please. It's in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and verse 18. Speaking of Christ, for He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence over God. God has the preeminence. Every now and then, very small, few or far between. But I'll tell you, if you gave me an unsaved man, you better get rid of that. You can't put him before God. If you're dating an unsaved woman, you better get rid of that. Because What may take you to get rid of it now, but you won't know taking until God starts taking it. We live in such a time that we've lost the fear of God, but we should know the fear of God because He has the preeminence in everything. That's a part of the problem in the book of Colossians. There is nothing except Christ. It may be accepted by the moment that we think it's coming. God said, I will not do anything unless I first reveal it to my servant the prophets. That word prophet, and it means a messenger. God said, I won't do anything unless I tell my messenger and he tells the people. And God spoke unto Moses, Moses spoke to the people. As God speaks to the messenger speaks to the people. You see this hand will either be innocent before God and be faithfully declared, or will have to be declared. That's right. The part of people. I love it too much to lie to you. I love it too much to deceive you. I love it too much to mislead you. By the help of the grace of God, this ministry that you're listening to this morning is not for sale. See, in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, when God told me to take this church, he came in chapter 5 and 1 Peter. Take it. Not by constraint, not because of force, but willingly. And not for fearful, pleasing, little sake. There may come a time you won't make anything, there may come a time you can't pay anything. But God that keeps his bread, God that holds the limit, you can take care of you and your hope. But the purpose of my message, and tonight when I want to get into the more specifics of how God did, taking things, and I'll just say, first of all, tonight, you're going to hear about accountability. Accountability. You are responsible. But here's the story. What I'm doing is not accusing anything of anybody. I'm preaching the word of God. I am wanting to be heard because by your fruit you will know. I'm not a judge, but I am a fruit inspector. I'm just inspecting some fruit. I know that we need God to shake something up in us. And when it's fruit shaking, the only thing that remains is Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads?